And welcome back. In recent programs, we have been discussing findings of a multidisciplinary study on issues that affect the health and well-being of African Americans in St. Louis. It's titled, For the Sake of All. The third of five briefs in the study is now out and focuses on the mental illness component and how such challenges affect economic and social opportunities. With me to discuss the findings, Jason Purnell is assistant professor at the Brown School at Washington University and lead researcher on the For Sake of All project. Joe Yancey is the executive director of Places for People. It provides services for people challenged by mental illness. And joining us by phone is Daryl Hudson. He is the author of the brief and assistant professor at Washington University's Brown School. Thank you all so much for being with us. And Daryl, I want to make sure you're there. Are you?
Yep, I am here.
Good. Well, thank you so much.
Shadow of Fenway Park in Boston.
Okay. Well, we won't hold that against you. thanks for being with us, Jason. Let me begin with you. I think we ought to very briefly review those first two briefs, so people who may not have heard know where we're coming from on this.
Sure. So the first brief was really laying out why are we having this discussion about education and economic status alongside health, and really laying out the case for health and education economic status being very strong predictors of people's health outcomes. And in that brief, we were able to estimate actually how many deaths among African Americans were attributable to low levels of education and poverty here in the St. Louis area, a considerable number, 1 in 6. The second brief was looking at how health impacts educational outcomes, particularly high school dropout. And each of the briefs were laying out a set of policy recommendations for how to address these issues. And this third brief takes up the issue of mental health and social and economic status.
Were you surprised at the findings of from the first couple of briefs?
I wasn't really surprised because we know what the literature says, what the research literature says about the power of economic and educational factors with health outcomes. I think the reactions that we have gotten are when we place that in the St. Louis context and we're actually able to put real numbers behind. And Daryl often reminds me that there are always people behind those numbers. So I think it brings it home for people when you put it in that local context.
Well, Daryl, let's bring you into this this part of the discussion then. What did you find out? Give us a synopsis, if you will, of your brief.
Sure. So the main thing is that we found is that the data for St. Louis largely mirrored the data that we find at the national level. Interestingly enough, contrary to popular belief or any reasonable assumption, is that unlike most physical health disparities like hypertension, diabetes, things like that, African Americans actually have lower rates of depression compared to white. And we found that in countless psychiatric epidemiologic studies at the national level. And we found the same thing was true in St. Louis. And so that raises a bunch of different questions. One is, are we detecting depression in African Americans? Another question is, are people who are suffering from depression and other mental disorders seeking treatment, finding treatment when they need it? So there's a variety of different explanations that can go on by these numbers. But that was probably the thing that I expected, and it was, and we found in St. Louis data that it.
We are having a terrible time with your phone, Daryl. I wonder if maybe we can try to reestablish that connection somehow to get a better line, and we'll continue the conversation here, hoping we can get you back into it. But it's barely intelligible here, or it is intelligible here. All righty, thanks. We'll try that again. Joey Yancey, let me turn to you. What are you taking from this report?
Well, I think it's an affirmation, Don, of the issues that particularly African Americans face, not only here in St. Louis, but I think in general. Again, as Jason said, I think it brings it home when it's in St. Louis. But when you look at issues around and barriers to accessing services, which can include things like really misinformation or a lack of information in the community. When you look at other areas that just really make it difficult for people to access services, even if they need it, stigma in the African-American community, I think, is extremely a difficult barrier to get through.
How does it show itself in Places for People?
Well, at Places for People, what we do is we have a very heavy outreach component. And so we're outreaching to the jails. We're outreaching out in the community. And oftentimes what that is to develop a very human relationship with a person and then gradually start to introduce what we can help with at Places for People. So our location actually is also a very good thing for us because we have people just walk through or come in, sometimes just looking for housing more than anything. And they may, based on a screening and assessment, be able to benefit from the services we provide.
Jason, what mental health issues in particular are we talking about? I'm sure we're talking about a full range, but are there some that are more evident, more obvious, and more of a problem than others?
Well, what we found, what Daryl laid out in this third brief, was that particularly substance abuse issues, serious mental illness like schizophrenia, what we call in the mental health trade the common cold of mental health, depression and anxiety, what we're finding is that people are using hospitals as the way to treat these issues. Even though African Americans only make up 30% of the population in St. Louis City and St. Louis County combined, the amount of money that's being spent on ER visits and hospitalization for mental health conditions is about half of the outlay. So what we're seeing is that people are not able to access the outpatient mental health, which would be much more reasonable in terms of cost and probably would treat these issues before they reach that sort of acute phase that would require someone to be hospitalized.
I understand that we have Daryl back with us, Daryl Hudson, who is the author of the brief, the subject that we're talking about today, dealing with mental illness being an issue in the African-American community here. Daryl, let's have a listen to you, see if you sound a little better than you did last time.
Okay, hopefully this is better. I switched locations, so I hope this is better.
Yeah.
But like I said before...
Go ahead.
It's better? Okay. So, like I said before, like Jason was mentioning, kind of common cold of mental illness are depression and anxiety. So we had data in St. Louis that gave us depression rates. And very similar, what we find at the national level was replicated in St. Louis, where African Americans had lower rates of depression than whites. There's a few different reasons why this could be. One could be problems with screening and detection for depression in African Americans. So that would be from the provider side. Another explanation could just be people who are suffering from these disorders are not seeking treatment or they don't have coverage. So there's a variety of different things that questions that were raised from looking at the St. Louis data.
What about the issue of stigma? That word has been uttered a few minutes ago. What role does that play in all of this?
Well, I think it plays a tremendous role. Unfortunately, mental illness still has an incredible amount of negative stigma around it. There's a lot of different misconceptions, and I remember putting this brief together and talking to Mr. Yancey there in the studio with y'all. He mentioned to me that there's a lot more misinformation about mental disorders than there is good information. An incredible amount of a stigma that still surrounds it. People don't know very well what the symptoms are or how to explain them. And the advice that people give you and when you're feeling low, when you're feeling down, corresponds with that. So people will say, well, maybe you should just go to church or maybe you should pray about this rather than seeing someone who might be professionally trying to deal with that.
This issue, Joe Yancey, of public awareness is an important one, and I know that's one of the conclusions drawn as a result of this latest brief.
No, absolutely, Don. And I think, you know, one of the things that we are hoping to get more penetration, particularly in the African-American community, is with a really model program called Mental Health First Aid. And what that does is basically it provides to the layman, similar to what we know as first aid, how to recognize and what are the first steps to take if you encounter somebody that maybe has a mental health disorder. So it gives a lot of good information. But oftentimes you'll find a lot. You know, I remember when I first came to St. Louis back in 1977, and how many people would say that a relative was in Malcolm Bliss was a real cut down, and some of that is still around. So.
This sort of thing has popped up in the earlier briefs in the For Sake of All project, hasn't it, Jason?
It has. Mental health is one of the key issues for why children are experiencing educational difficulties. Mental health problems very often translate into behavioral problems, and those children get labeled as problem children when what they're dealing with may be a difficult home environment or really the stress of poverty. There's been a lot of recent work, actually, on how the stress of poverty is actually changing the brain chemistry of children. And that's leading to a number of detrimental outcomes, both in childhood and later in adult life.
As was pointed out in the last brief on school dropouts, for instance, this plays a significant role. Time is starting to get away, and I want to bring Daryl back in as the author of this For Sake of All most recent brief. Daryl, okay, now we've identified a problem or problems. What sort of recommendations do you have for dealing with them?
Sure. So as we mentioned in the brief, one of the big things is just raising awareness of what mental health problems are, raising awareness of where people can seek treatment at. So trying to help people to connect to services that are available to people who are suffering to mental disorders. Another problem that we have is that there's been a large amount of funding cut from community-based service providing agencies that provide services for mental disorders. So trying to invest in community mental health centers and thinking strategically about where those facilities are placed is another big recommendation that we had in the brief. So I'm sure Mr. Yancey can tell you that there's been an incredible amount of money cut out of state institutions that provided services for mental health. And so just trying to think about where we can place those agencies or new facilities is another big recommendation that we came out with the brief.
There are references to cooperation between government and the private sector, which might be somewhat helpful with regard to financial resources.
Oh, certainly. And that stretches all the way from things like electronic medical records, for instance. So it's very difficult to figure out what a primary diagnosis is sometimes. So a person who's admitted into the hospital, for instance, will get an admitting or working diagnosis, and then by the time they leave, they could have something else. So what we find for mental disorders is that it's difficult to discern what it is that person is coming into the hospital for, especially if they have other problems, physical problems that they're focusing on. So just having some coordination between private and public sectors is incredibly important. And that helps us, like I said before, from data that we can garner from electronic medical records all the way up to how things are charged in the billing systems.
I only have a little more than a minute left. Joe Yancey, what would your recommendation be for next steps?
Well, I think that the access issue is one that I really would like to put a really highlight. In terms of community mental health centers and access to those, I mean, here in Missouri, for instance, we have pretty much become a Medicaid-only system. And when you think about that Missouri did not expand Medicaid, not only does that hurt that, but all of the people that, you know, are single males, for instance, that we have out there that cannot get services is critical. And so I think that access is really the key. That's going to keep people from going to the hospital and going to the ER. They go there now because it's the only place they can go.
Right. And Jason Purnell, in the time we have left, the previous guest talked about the lack of financial resources and that money being kind of the bottom of everything here. What is your next step with regard to taking the information you're gleaning from these this study? What is your next step to take advantage of what you've learned?
Our next step is really to put this information in front of policymakers and decision makers, the business community here in St. Louis, to expand the table. We very often have these conversations among ourselves and wonder what we're going to do. But the title of this project suggests that we're all involved in this, and we're going to need everyone at the table to change these issues.
Well, we'll be expecting another brief in probably the next couple of weeks, and we'll look forward to talking to you all about that as well. Thank you, Jason Purnell, so much for being with us. And Joe Yancey, good to meet you. Thank you for being with us. And Daryl Hudson, thank you for joining us from Boston, even though you are outside Fenway Park. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with NPR Tell Me More host Michelle Martin in advance of her live broadcast this Friday in St. Louis. And as part of our ongoing reporting on tracking gifts Missouri lawmakers accept, we have a new comprehensive and interactive website. We'll talk about it tomorrow with St. Louis Public Radio's political reporter Chris McDaniel and web producer Kelsey Proud. In the meantime, check out the website at lobbyingmissouri.org. We thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.